Welcome to the Continuous Delivery Podcast. My name is Zarar.
I'm Gino.
I'm Chaba.
And I'm Cheesy.
So if you had taken a, a Scrum course early on, one of the things that they taught you there was that when you are writing user stories, make sure that they are end-to-end. So they simulate or they encompass the entire user workflow. So from the UI down to the middleware, down to the database. And once all those things are done, then your user story is complete because that's what delivers customer value. And right now I'm finding that when I try to coach teams and I try to adopt that pattern, if I try to do it, the user story becomes really, really big, which is sort of antithetical to what user stories are supposed to be in continuous delivery. Are the two ways of thinking at odds with each other?
I don't really think so. What is really going on is that people come oftentimes from a completely different mindset where indeed they don't look at stories end to end. And what they're doing is they look at features. And when you're coming from a feature world where you're building your application layer by layer, and then you're moving to an incremental world where you try to provide incremental development and incremental value along the way, those stories need to become an awful lot smaller. But the only concept that they have of something that is end-to-end and is working and providing user value is actually an entire feature. And it takes a mindset shift to switch people away from thinking about an entire feature and thinking about what those individual pieces in that feature might be that can deliver value bit by bit.
So a lot of these ideas, like for example, take a vertical slice all the way through, are really good suggestions. But I think if we become completely dogmatic to a place where it doesn't work well, which it sounds like, Zarar, maybe that's what you're experiencing, then perhaps that's a problem. So I go back to think about this idea that's been around for a while called the walking skeleton. In other words, the first stories should really be about trying to get something in place, and as much of something as you possibly can, but it doesn't have to be everything. I remember hearing Ron Jeffries talk about an early client that he worked with where they actually were several weeks, or if I'm not mistaken, actually a few months into development before they actually even added a database to it. You know, and so whereas our first gut reaction would be, oh my God, I have to go all the way out to the database. So instead, I would try to go all the way end to end. But if it becomes a huge problem, what can we do? If I don't own the whole system end to end, and that, for example, on my back end, I'm making a call maybe to a third party or to another service or to something that's maintained by another area of the company, I think it's kind of valid to say that especially if that other piece is not ready yet, that my initial skeleton is going to speak to a mock or something like that.
Right. So what you're saying, Cheesy, and this database is a really good example that doesn't prevent you from basically getting feedback about the functionality that you just have delivered. The only piece that is not in there is that this data that you somehow keep in memory inside that system is that data is not persistent, is not made persistent. But when you think about the larger system, then that is actually additional value that your system is offering. If you reboot your system, all the data is lost, right? But in the meantime, you do get value, you do get feedback about how you and users interact with that system, with those stories, with that functionality. And that is already valuable for the team to improve the product, but also to know what to do next.
I remember having a conversation about this with Alistair Coburn many years ago, where we were talking about this specific topic. It just came to my mind. And one of the reasons why they were strongly pushing that you have a vertical slice and that you have something going end to end is because it's testable, and that you could actually see it and you could you know, and product owners could start to leverage it and start to try to use it and things like that. So now, sometimes in today's world, things get messy. And like Hino's describing, it becomes unbelievably difficult to get those pieces, you know, for whatever reasons. And so I would step back in those cases, though, and still keep those end goals in mind. I want something that's testable, something that's wired up as much as I possibly can have. And also, I want something that my product owner can as soon as possible, start to look at, start to use, something that end users could start to look at potentially as well. So, bringing it back to continuous delivery again. So that could still be deployed. It still could be deployed. It doesn't have to be released until those missing pieces are there. Chaba?
You guys covered it extremely, extremely well. And always the question is, what is the purpose of that particular thing that we are putting out? What are we trying to learn, right? And sometimes that learning could be like a technical learning in a way that, can we wire all these things together? And sometimes that's a very, very valid point. And in that case, if that's the risk, or if that's the highest risk, then end to end, you absolutely need to have that end to end slice. If the learning is more about business and about like, will our users like some of these features, then you're addressing that business risk. Then perhaps your example, Cheesy, of working skeleton, where you don't need the database to in place, it's more work. It's more beneficial for the business, because that's the risk that you are trying to address. So I think it's greatly depends on the application and what are you trying to learn.
I'll say that specialization has also kind of taken a knock at this concept, because I think before, you used to have less specialized people who were able to actually, you know, work over multiple stacks, and it sort of made sense for them to kind of do the whatever thing it is as a whole, just because they were already there. When you have specialization, you automatically create more handoffs than ideally what are needed. So if you bundle the different specializations all as part of one story, you create dependencies and it becomes harder to ship. There's more communication, coordination required for these things to happen. And then the user story sort of becomes big. So maybe in the age of specialization, this idea is less relevant. The other part that I struggle with this idea is that you always try to encourage every commit to go to production, no matter what it is, right? That's the kind of like the ideal continuous delivery flow, is that every commit immediately goes to production. And at the same time, we encourage and we like small commits. And small commits are probably not going to implement your entire feature every time. So now, just by, you know, transitivity, we're saying every small commit should go to production, but that small commit does not in itself necessarily result in a feature for the end user. So if you play that along a little bit more, you can conclude inductively that if you want to ship frequently and you want to ship soon and you want to ship small increments, you don't necessarily need to have a complete function built before you can ship.
So we've been talking a tiny bit abstract about what user stories are and how to, and that they need to be small enough and that we need to try to make them end to end, which I still think I'm going to disagree with you on the specialization piece. I still feel that that's really what we need to strive towards, right? And if there's multiple specializations, that's only an opportunity to collaborate an awful lot better and to try to overcome that issue. But let's look at how we can split down those stories, because it's almost like an art form, and it requires definitely a little bit of experience and a little bit of creativity sometimes to try to figure out how to make these things smaller. Oftentimes, when you think end to end, let's say, for instance, we all four of us live in Toronto, so we are a financial hub. That means that we oftentimes get to work with banks. So if we, for instance, are building something related to filing our taxes, then we might try to build stories that are related to a tax application of a single person who's living all by themselves, who have no property, who has one particular job, no foreign income, and no special things that they need to deduct. That is the simplest case possible. So you strip out, and this is ultimately almost coming back to what Jesus said in the beginning, the walking skeleton. It's stripping out all of the complexity that you can find, and it's trying to make that story as small as possible. And you might now think like, so why is that still valuable? Well, it's still valuable because you get that early feedback. You are kind of tying together those different pieces of the system in its simplest form and trying to add more functionality along the way and see how you need to fatten that skeleton up.
So one aspect what Hino mentioned is this super stripping down functionality. One aspect I wanted to also reflect that when development teams are implementing a feature and they are looking at this functionality based on an architectural layer like front end and back end, that then often there is an aspect where these handoffs become part of the process, because you develop this, you strip down all this functionality, but sometimes you work ahead of time, right? Let's say you have your front end done first, and this is, I believe, was Zara's question earlier. So if the front end is done first and then the back end is coming later on, then there is an inevitable integration piece, right? And then who knows what the front end folks are working at that point. So it creates, like, in my opinion, an invisible waste in the system that often is not seen because naturally would like, oh yeah, for sure, I can work on this piece and you can work on that piece, but often that integration piece is stays invisible. And then if it's not taken care of properly, then it's going to lead to bugs and defects. But and that's why working together it could be more efficient from that perspective. And your functionality will be truly what you really need to put out because you are just coding to accomplish what Hino mentioned, that very, very small, very, very small piece. So nobody is trying to go ahead and develop more than just needed at that point.
So I'd like to talk about what's after the walking skeleton. So in other words, the idea of the walking skeleton is that we have the minimal thing we can possibly have end to end to have something working. And I even added in that some cases, some of that might even be mocked out potentially. But from that point, I don't think that user stories necessarily need to be really big, grandiose things either. The idea is to keep them down so that you can finish them in a few hours. So a user story might be, for example, complete auto completion on this text field or you know, replace this mocked out call with a real call, or so, just really small little things just to put small little pieces of muscle or organs on the bones themselves. So my experience is that in order to get that first, the little walking skeleton and even mocking and things, it might be slightly larger and that it might take a couple of days to get it in place. But once that's in place, you can quite easily make user stories that we can finish up, you know, in a matter of a few hours if we just slice them really small, and each one continues to add just a little bit of value, a little bit more completeness from the product's perspective.
I think Hino described story writing as an art form. I completely disagree with that. If story writing has become an art form, then it's a very wasteful activity because there's really no point to it. There's a point to understanding what product we are building from a user's perspective, which is what I like about the format and how it forces you to take a user perspective on things. But if you have to spend time writing user stories and you have to like think about all these little edge cases and it's got to be written this way or that way, I would classify that entire activity as just waste. What I am landing on more and more over the last little bit is a very informal structure of creating requirements, which is really you have a sketch in front of you, you put the sketch in front of developers, and developers tell you exactly how they want to splice up the work, whether they want to put an autocomplete box here, a piece of text here, a button color here. Let them do whatever it is they want to do it. Let them write the way they want to write it. It does not have to be formal. It does not have to be, it certainly doesn't have to be an art form. It the more informal it is, and the less constrained it is towards what it is, quote unquote, supposed to be, I find the better it is.
Finally, we have something that we disagree on, which makes this this podcast so much more interesting. So thanks, Zarar. I agree with you that story writing should not be a tremendous amount of work. What I'm talking about when I'm talking about an art forum is, and not really in that sense, it's it requires a little bit of experience. Not everyone has the insight immediately when they start working with stories on how these things can be split up into pieces that are still valuable. I have worked with many teams throughout the years. And one of the experiences that I remember best is quite a number of years ago, where I was working with a team that was building software for basically for network layers. They were making network protocols. And I had never worked with a team like that before. So it was really difficult for me to try to figure out what those stories might look like, smaller stories. So we were in a workshop of about 3 to 4 hours and tried to split these things down. And one of the things that I quite visually saw in that team, as we were going through it, and the only strength that I had at that moment, I could only ask questions because I was not familiar enough with the domain. I couldn't give him any suggestions. But at some point, there was this moment where one person said, "I get it. I know exactly what you mean." And he started explaining a few small things, and he said, "We can have this communication right now without taking into account the error codes. We can make sure that that we only make the story assuming that the network will never go down. Then the next story will add that capability. The next story will add this. The next story will add that." And it was exactly what we were trying to get at. And this person, he brought the other folks with him right there, right then, just because he made that click. And that's the click that I'm referring to when I'm talking about almost like a way, like an art form, like understanding what the real switch is in that mindset in trying to get that real small piece of functionality out.
As a podcast host, I want this podcast to end so that I can go eat a sandwich.